The Good Shepherd has a consoling word for us today. I give my sheep eternal life. That's good news. They shall never perish. I like hearing that. No one can take them from me. We have a powerful Savior on our side. The Father has given them to me. We've been chosen by God. So these are the consoling words that the Good Shepherd has for us, kind of defines us and our identity. And it's a good message, I think, on Mother's Day to remind us of how God's love for us is constant as a mother's love and is freely given, and that we are safe and secure in the love of God. A good consoling message. However, I kind of got distracted by the very first words in that reading today. My sheep hear my voice. Do I really hear the voice of the shepherd? If I was hearing the voice of the shepherd, wouldn't it be clearer to me what I'm supposed to be doing? If I heard the voice of the shepherd, would I understand better going through loss and grief like losing Jenny yesterday? Would I hear the voice of the shepherd and be able to make sense out of the fact that this creaky old body at age 70 is giving out on me? Reflecting on that, I realized that there was a mistake in the way I was thinking about things. I had this mistaken notion. I was imagining that I needed something else in order to hear the voice of the shepherd. You know, boy, if I was just holier, then I could hear the voice of the shepherd. If I was just more prayerful, then I could hear the voice of the shepherd. If I just knew the gospel a little better, then I could hear the voice of the shepherd. That was the mistaken idea I had, because it set up this dichotomy, this difference where I was imagining that God is somehow out there and I am down here, and never the twain shall meet. But the real message of the Good Shepherd is that supposed gap is an illusion. The coming of Jesus into our world, the incarnate Son of God as our Good Shepherd, lets us know that there is no gap between heaven and earth, between God and humanity. The Father and I are one, Jesus says. And a little bit later in John 17, he says, and I pray that they will be one in us. So our reality is not this illusion of gaps. Our reality is oneness, unity. That's what the Bible's trying to tell us again and again. We had in our second reading today, no, our first reading today from the book of Revelation, we have the message that this supposed difference that exists between nation and race and people and tongue, that is overcome in Jesus. All of those supposed differences, in fact, are just reflections of the rich facet that we are as God's people. And so we have to realize that we all are in this together. And in the second reading today, where we had St. Paul giving this lesson to the people about that there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. All God's people belong together. But as that Scripture points out, and as our own reality reminds us, that these differences still exist. This unity that we're made for has not yet come about. So this is the task of the church, to help us rediscover, reclaim, reown the fact that we all belong together. We are meant to live as one. And so let's think what that would look like then, if we would want to imagine ourselves live as God intends us to live, as one people, as a people connected with God's own grace and peace. We have to think about prayer differently. You know, one of the problems we have in prayer is we can easily imagine, or I can easily imagine, I'm doing it wrong. I must not be praying right. How come I'm not connecting to God? I need to do something differently in order to connect with God. But if the Father and I are one, and we are one with Jesus, then we are connected with God, whether we know it or not. The very act of putting ourselves in God's presence makes the connection happen. We might not always know it. We might not always feel it. We might sometimes experience a silence, but that does not mean the connection hasn't happened. Because God is one with us, and we are one with God. And so our role, our job as people of prayer is not to get some kind of mystical experience, but our goal is to be in the presence of God and trust in the gift that God wants to give us. And this call to unity, to oneness, changes the way that we think about people in life, that we're all in this together, that there isn't anybody who's better than anybody else. You know, Americans aren't better than Arabs. Mothers aren't better than, well, maybe they are better than everybody else, but no. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight, right? Jesus loves the little children of the world. That's the message that we're constantly being given. So we all might have different rhythms, but we're all part of the cosmic dance. We might have come over on different ships, but we're in the same boat now. And that's why it's wrong to have any kind of policy or program or law that divides. We are meant to live together, meant to live as one, meant to be one people, because that's how God made us. And so we have to do whatever is necessary to help us recover the unity, the oneness that we have as a people of God. And we have to change, it seems to me, our attitude about ourselves, the way that we operate, so we can easily think that I need something else in my life. Boy, once I get my education, or once I get that job, or once I reach this financial security, or once I have this person in my life, or once I feel security, or once I live in this place, then I'll be happy. That's an illusion. Because quite frankly, no matter what we get, we're going to want something else. Right? But we already have all that we need. We already have everything for our happiness. Did you notice that passage in the story of St. Paul? That we're told that the people were filled with joy. Well, the sentence before that, they were being persecuted. They weren't filled with joy because of how wonderful things were going. They were filled with joy because they knew they had God in their life no matter what was going on. And that's the attitude we have to have. No matter how things are happening, we have all that we need to live a full, rich, and happy life if we have God. So really, I think this day is an invitation for us to unlearn some things. We have to unlearn the way we think about prayer and instead trust that we're always in God's hand. We have to unlearn the way we look at one another because we are all in this as the one people of God. We have to unlearn the way we think about our own happiness, because God is already blessing us. We have to learn the oneness that we have with God and with one another. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is Father of all, who is over all, who is in all, and who is through all. There is only one people, the people of God. There is only one way, the way of love. And there is only one earth, this great, beautiful place that God has given us as the foretaste of that heavenly realm where we will live with the Good Shepherd forever and ever. Amen.